Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm David Tovey, Editor-in-Chief of the Cochrane Library. Diabetes affects 3 or 4 people in every 100, and improving their dental health may affect their health more generally. Terry Simpson from the Edinburgh Dental Institute in Scotland discusses the research evidence.
I work in a busy dental practice, with our dental healthcare professionals seeing approximately 250 people in any given week. Of these, 6 or 7 people are likely to have diabetes mellitus. If what we do in treating their gum disease can also help with their diabetes, this would have an important impact. Our multidisciplinary team at University of Edinburgh, Eastman Dental Institute at University College London, Peninsula Dental School in Plymouth, and University of Ottawa did this Cochrane review to find out what might happen. People with diabetes have naturally raised blood sugar in the absence of treatments such as dietary control of carbohydrates, oral drugs, or injections of insulin. Glycemic control, or keeping their blood sugars close to that of people without diabetes, is critical to avoiding long-term complications such as kidney disease, circulatory disorders, and damage to the retina and the eyes. If these complications arise, they can reduce quality of life and even life expectancy. Dentists have known for some time that people with diabetes are more prone to disease of the gums and associated bone tissues. However, what dentists and gum specialists call periodontologists are particularly keen to know is, can we help people control their blood sugar by treating pre-existing periodontal disease? The precise mechanism for any such link is not fully understood, but much work has been done on the effects of chronic inflammation due to bacterial infection and any reduction in inflammatory disease, such as periodontal disease, through oral hygiene, dental scaling, root cleaning, and therapy with antibiotics, may have a beneficial effect on insulin resistance. Returning to our Cochrane review, the most accurate measure of blood sugar over a period of months is the HbA1c, or glycated hemoglobin. We weren't able to find any good evidence for the effects in patients with type 1 diabetes, but for people with type 2 diabetes, our findings suggest that there may be a significant effect of periodontal treatment, lowering their HbA1c by 0.4%. This might seem very small, but to put it in perspective, a 0.2% reduction over a prolonged period of time has been estimated to lead to a 10% reduction in mortality. However, we should caution that although the reduction in HbA1c in our review is statistically significant, we were only able to include 7 studies, and of these, only 3 small studies were suitable for use in the detailed analysis. In oral health terms, the studies all showed improvements in parameters we used to assess success of periodontal treatment, namely bleeding on probing, probing depth, and clinical attachment levels. This gave us the assurance that in these studies, the periodontal treatment had improved the condition of the mouth. In summary, the main lessons from our review are that treating periodontal disease may confer a small benefit in controlling blood sugar levels for patients with type 2 diabetes. Larger, well-conducted randomized trials are needed to confirm these benefits and to allow more detailed investigation of the effects. And in the meantime, healthcare professionals and patients need to be aware of the association that we have found. Patients and those responsible for health promotion should consider the importance of nurturing good oral health and the possible benefits for blood sugar control. Dental and medical professionals should cooperate closely in the care of people with diabetes and should understand the possible implications of our findings, because better control of blood sugar levels can potentially reduce the chances of well-recognized complications of diabetes. We will be keeping this review up to date as more research becomes available, and we are already aware of several studies that require close scrutiny. We hope to publish the first update in 2011.
To find out more about the current evidence and to see the updates when these appear, you'll find the full review at www.thecochranelibrary.com.